Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about, the Lord just put this, we're going to talk about delayed blessings. Make sense? Delayed blessings. That doesn't mean that your blessings have to be delayed, but your blessings depend upon you. Delayed blessings. And I think I'm going to go a little deep today, if you don't mind. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you and we pray that your word and divine revelation would come into our hearts, our souls, our minds, and the depth of our spirits today. And Lamb of God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Put up Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to begin from verse 1. Hallelujah. No, you can sit down. We're gonna teach. I'm not gonna read. I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna teach from that whole entire scripture today. And in other words, the whole chapter, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, of course, that's not saying that we reject the doctrine. That means that after, see, here's the problem. The problem with us many times is that you talk to somebody who's been in the church for 15 years and the only thing that they understand is Acts 2:38. And that's all they really understand. And they can tell you about Jesus' name baptism and water repentance and the oneness of God. And they can tell you all those wonderful things. But that's all they really know. The Bible says, and the scripture tells us, that we are supposed to have the ability, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's not saying that we put them behind us. What we're saying is that we go further in the things of God. There's a lot more to know than just the doctrine. Amen? Praise God. And that's the reason why so many saints today don't have power over temptation or power over their lives, because of the fact is they cannot go any further. And so it goes on, it says, let us go on unto perfection. Perfection is the way we understand perfection. It means completeness. God desires for us to be complete in him. Let us therefore go unto to be complete. Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works or of faith towards God. Lay not again the foundation of repentance from dead works. It's the overcoming of our flesh. In other words, the ability to tell the flesh no. Amen? Praise God. The ability to tell the flesh no. Repentance from the foundation of dead works. Dead works are temporal works. Works that only manifestate and and benefit us in this life. Dead works. Dead works. Some things you have to tell the flesh no. The flesh says, I want to do it, I'm going to do it, and the soul has to say no. And laying out again the foundation of repentance. Some people never get past that. And this is the important thing about helping people going forward in the power of the Holy Ghost and utilizing the Holy Ghost and not just trying to live for God in their mere flesh. This is the importance of battling and fighting against the flesh. And of faith towards God. Do we believe in the things of God? Faith towards God. What I mean by faith towards God? Faith towards God is, do you believe that God can do all things? Or does certain circumstances in your life tie the hands of God where God cannot move? So, because some people, even in the church, look at circumstances. And because they look at circumstances, it says that God does not have the ability to change it. Amen? God does not have the ability. God always has the ability. Now, what is your faith towards God? Many people are robbed of spiritual blessings and even physical blessings because they really lack faith in believing that God really does have the ability to do all things. Some people lack a healing and never receive a healing because of the fact is they depend more on the position of the doctors than they do on God. Now, I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying be foolish. But let's face it, I've learned one thing in my own sickness. When the Lord has touched my body, see, I go in and tell the doctor, look at me. I go in and tell the doctor, God's touched me. And you know what he can say? He can't say nothing. Because he looks at the results and he says, something's happening here. See? God has touched me. Now, I'm telling him that. I might not feel anything. I might be dealing with the same symptoms in my body. I might be dealing with the same symptoms. But because I have faith towards God, I'm believing that God is going to heal me and touch my body and raise me up. And so when the doctor goes in, takes his test, he looks, he says, well, this did improve. When it shouldn't have improved, or when it should have done that, because you exercise your faith towards God. And of course, naturally, sometimes a healing is a process. Healing is not instantaneous. A miracle is instantaneous. Healing is a process. Amen? Healing is a process. And so, in order for you to claim the fullness of healing, you have to go through the process that God takes you through, that your body will be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the doctors told me 2 years ago that I was supposed to be on the kidney machine. Am I on the kidney machine? No. No. I am not. Why? Do I have problems with my kidneys? Yes. Do I believe God? Of course. What does the doctor say? He marvels. He looks at the results. He doesn't understand why things don't change for the worse. Faith towards God. Who made that body? God made that body. God made that body. The doctor didn't make it. The doctor can't sustain it. The doctor only do the best he knows how to do, which is, I'm not saying that's wrong. The doctor can only do the best he knows how to do. But you, as a Christian, have the power to exercise faith towards God. And I believe if we exercise anything less, we lose out. We lose out if we exercise anything less. Because sometimes what happens is we go through the cycles, we look at the symptoms, we expect the worst to take place, and we give in to the worst, and it happens. But sometimes when the worst is taking place, we need to say, Lord, you still sit upon the throne. You're still able to heal my body. Amen. And I already went through that process. I went through that process. I had all the symptoms. I had the water on my feet. I had eight. My wife will tell you, I had 8 to 9 kilos of water in my system. It was already there. I could hardly pick my feet up. The doctor looked. You know what? I went to a conference. I prayed. Came back. Feet dry as a bone. Why? We have to learn to exercise our faith towards God. God is a healer. He is able to do whatever he says he will do. Amen? Amen. So these are things. So faith towards God. This is the basics. These are before God will open his realm to you. Turn to the next scripture, brother. Here are the basics. Laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works. That's overcome the flesh, am I right? And then is having faith towards God. Do we believe? And then is of the doctrines of baptism. In other words, do we believe that the biblical doctrines in the Bible are salvational? Do you believe that? Huh? Is God able to save us? Amen. And then it talks about, and then it says, and the laying on of hands, healing. Praise God. When you lay on our hands, a person can be healed, spiritually or physically. The laying on of hands, a person can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, am I right? Which brings a spiritual healing. Praise God. It brings a spiritual healing. The laying on of hands. Do you believe on the power of the laying on of hands? See, the thing is, do we believe these things? If we don't believe these things, God can't take us any further. He can't take you any further until you first believe these. He said, therefore, it says in the beginning, therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ. These are the principles of doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection, laying not again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith towards God, of doctrines of baptism, a laying on hands, and the resurrection of the dead. Do we believe that the Lord is coming? Do you believe that the Lord is coming? Amen. And then it says, then it asks us, do we believe in eternal judgment? Do you believe in hell? Praise God. These are basics. Now, the problem with our society and Christianity of why we can't go in. Listen, let me tell you something. Here's what Paul's saying to the Hebrew church. If these are the basics of what we can understand. Paul's not talking about going to heaven to understand these things. He's talking about understanding these things here on earth. He's saying, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance, overcoming the flesh, and faith towards God. Complete faith. God is able. Whether he does or not, he's still able. And he's still willing. Whether he does or not. Amen. And then it goes on. And of the doctrine of baptism. Do we believe repentance? Water baptism in Jesus' name? And filling with the Holy Ghost, whatever is speaking in tongues. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God has called us to live a godly and a Christian life? Do we believe that? Amen. Those are the doctrines of baptism. Laying on the hands of it, we believe in healing. We believe in spiritual healing. We believe in physical healing. Do we believe that the Lord is going to come back and resurrect the dead? Praise God. Do we believe that hell is eternal judgment. Praise God. Now, those are things that we have to believe before and deal with before we can go any further in God. Oh my goodness. Some people are still struggling with that. Some people come and ask me questions, had the Holy Ghost for years, and ask me questions about those particular things. And I'm thinking, you ain't got it yet? Amen. Somebody, you know, they don't have it yet. And because they don't have it yet, they can't go any further than God. See, you know, they can't go any further than God because they don't have it yet. They don't, they might not have, they might have, we all struggle with the flesh. And we all have our struggles with the flesh. So that might, I think that's our biggest battle. Overcoming the flesh completely. That's our biggest battle. Amen. But in the midst of overcoming our flesh, do we really have faith towards God in anything? Are we foolish towards the world, towards the things of God? See, that's the thing. Are we foolish to the world towards the things of God? In other words, what the world would think and the way the world would go about it, it'd be foolishness to them for them to believe what we believe. It's foolish when I tell the doctor God's able to heal. It's foolish to him. You know, it's foolish to him. It's foolish to him when if I told him that the Lord told me that I wasn't going to take the pill because the Lord, then listen, I won't take the pill if the Lord tells me not to take it. Amen. But if the Lord don't tell me to take it, I take it. But if the Lord tells me not to take it, I will heal your body. I won't take it. That's foolishness to that doctor. And that's faith towards God. Oh, man, we can't exercise like that. That's a cultism. That is not a cultism. That's faith towards God. That's not a cultism. That's not a cultism. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You don't see God. You don't see God. Amen. But our problem is that we get hung up on the tangible situation, on the tangible things, on the words and the things that were said. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Salvation. Do we believe, not only do we believe in the doctrines, do we believe that in the doctrines of baptism that they are able to save people? Do you believe that? I believe, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and refilling with the Holy Ghost can save the worst. I believe that. I don't care where they come from. I don't care what they did. I don't care how many people they were married to. I don't care how many people they slept with. I don't care how much drugs they took. I don't care whatever they did. I know that God has the power through his word to save the person from the uttermost. That's the type of God that I serve. He can save them from the uttermost. There's not one person in here that can walk into this building that is not worthy of salvation. Everyone is worthy of salvation because of his mercy and because of his grace. Everyone is worthy. Everyone. And we don't have a right to exclude anyone if God saved us with the same position of salvation. Everyone. If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want God to do a work in your life. I want God to do something in your life. Praise God. And only God has that ability. I don't have that ability. Hallelujah. Do we believe in hell as an eternal judgment? Hell is an eternal abode. In fact, it's not an eternal abode. It's a partial abode. Because hell will be emptied into the lake of fire. Amen? And then it says in verse 3, and we will do it if what? If God permits. If God permits. We come to that fullness and understanding by the permission of God. Not by the forcefulness of men, but by the permission of God. Amen. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that in order for a person to be successful in their walk with God in Christianity is they had to be proactive. They had to be proactive. I'm going to get a little deeper. They had to be proactive. Now, this is the catch, y'all. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, number four. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to be renewed them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put themselves to open shame. Now, you know what some people would think? Some people would say, that tells you that if you have the Holy Ghost and you backslide, you can't come back to the Lord. That is not true. That is not what that scripture is saying. That scripture is much deeper than that. That is not what that scripture is saying. Because remember, in order for you, let me tell you something, in order for you to have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, you have to get beyond the principles of Christ, faith towards God, the doctrines of baptism, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You got to get beyond that in order to taste the good word of God. Hallelujah. What's the good word? Good word is the deep stuff where God really opens you up and helps you to understand his purpose and his reasoning. Hallelujah. Some people and a lot of people are still caught in the errors of salvation. That's right. They still fighting with the flesh, or they fighting with something, or they fighting with something they don't believe God for, or they can't believe God for. If you can't believe God for all things, you're still in the beginning stages. I don't care how long you had the Holy Ghost. You're still in the beginning stages. But once you taste the good word of God, that's the deep stuff. That's the stuff where, that's the place. See, you have to remember, this is Paul, right? Paul had the experience of going to the third heaven. Am I right? See, you know, we take the word of God lightly. We need to stop taking the word of God lightly. We need to stop taking the word of God lightly. And we need to take the word of God literally. And stop taking it lightly. You know, this is the problem, man. How can people be filled with the Holy Ghost and take the word of God lightly? You can't do that. You got to take the word of God literally. Paul went to the third heaven. In other words, he had an out-of-body experience where God took him to the third heaven. And he seen things that he said that he could not even utter. He could not even speak about. That's the good word of God. And that's the place, even while we stand here in the flesh, that God wants to take every one of us. Now, everybody say, well, we can't wait till we get to heaven? Oh, no. No. You understand one thing. You know something about Paul? Listen, do you realize how powerful Paul's revelations were? Paul's revelations were so powerful from the experience of God that not only did he feed the Corinthian church, the Ephesian church, and the Galatian church, and all those other churches, he's feeding the churches from his revelations today. 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 That's where we're reading it from. Today. That's where God desires to take us. Everybody, listen, Paul was chosen, a chosen vessel. You know why he was a chosen vessel? He was a chosen vessel to actually preach to the Gentiles. Because Peter was too prejudiced to preach to Gentiles. He couldn't do it. He couldn't use Peter. Peter was too prejudiced. So he got Paul. And Paul was killing Jews. And you think about that. Here Paul was hailing Jews to go to jail because he was against the Christian movement, and here God knocks him off Damascus Road and says, Paul, why do you persecute me? And Paul turns his life completely around from one experience with God and literally tears, builds churches and tears the world upside down. And having no word in hand except what he learned from Old Testament scripture, the Lord gave him all these revelations, and we have this powerful word today. Why? Because God desires to take us somewhere. And then it goes on. Go to the next scripture. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, and receive blessings from God. In other words, I'm going to paraphrase this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm trying to emphasize to the church the power of the Spirit of God that's within you and where God wants to take us. He doesn't want to, listen, you know the problem with church today? Everybody wants to be in safety. Huh? So in safety, you take your shoes off and you put your feet in the waiting pool. Don't want to get too deep. Huh? This good enough. I'm getting my feet wet. But see, you know what the Lord wants? The Lord wants you to get in there when you start walking out. You ever see when Jeremiah talked about the measuring stick? You start walking out and it starts to rise to where you become consumed in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But everybody, we want to be in the safe part. So let me be in the waiting pool here, because this is all I can handle, God. You know, it's good enough for me. I'm good enough. I got my feet wet. That's not what God wants us to do. Because you know what? If you got your feet in the waiting pool, and all the things, only thing is your feet is wet, you can dry your feet off and walk away. You can dry your feet off and walk away. And therefore, that's why Paul was saying, therefore, the principles of Christ, let us go unto perfection. Let us become and do the things that God wants us to become and do the things that God wants us to do. Let us see the things that God wants us to see. And experience the things in the Holy Ghost that God wants us to experience. Amen? And then it says, number 6-8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Hell. Go to the next one, brother. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. He said there's other things that come along with salvation. Not just a waiting pool experience. Not just a waiting pool experience. I want everything that God can give me. I'm serious. Hallelujah. I want everything. I want it all in the flesh, and I want it all in the spirit. Amen. I just don't want a waiting pool experience. Because the waiting pool experience, I have the ability to get up, dry my feet, and walk away. Go to the next one. For God is not unrighteous to forget works and labor of love, which ye have showed towards him, his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Praise God. That makes sense. Every one of us, not just a preacher, not just a preacher. Why everybody put all the labor on the preacher and say the preacher got to do everything? Well, you know how people, you know people, you tell me, well, you're the pastor. What they got to do with it? Am I supposed to carry your cross and my cross too? Just because I'm the pastor? Because I'm the pastor, do I teach everybody? Do I teach everybody? Huh? That's why the Lord brought teachers up among us. Because why? I can't teach everybody. Amen. But you're the pastor. Some people think because they pay their tithes, they bought somebody. And there's something. You be thinking, what kind of Christian are you? Think because you paid your tithes, you purchased me. I belong to you. No, I belong to God. And your tithing belongs to God. And if you don't tithe unto God, you guess what? You lost your cash. You did it in vain. But if you tithe unto me, you're in trouble. Oh, you thought because I check the books. Huh? That's right. But you know, people run up to you, you know, Brother Greg, I paid my tithe somewhere. I look up, so what? So what you pay your tithe? What they got to do with it? This is the problem with people, see? What does that have to do with it? It has nothing to do with it. That tells you that they missed the principle and they missed the understanding. And they are in the first level of things. Verse 12, brother. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience. And through faith and patience inherit the promise. Through faith and impatience inherit. Now let me, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to go. Be ready, brother. I'm gonna pour out a lot of scripture on you in a minute. This is where I want to go. That ye may be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. How do you inherit the promise? Through faith and what? Patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why some people can sit on the pew for 20 years and not receive the blessings they receive, and a person gets saved in 5 months and God pours it out on them. That's exactly why. Because the new person, or the person just got saved 6 months ago, is having patience and faith, and they're receiving the promise. And the person that's been around 20 years has sat over there and they have no faith, and they lack patience, and they're receiving nothing from God. And you know what? They receive nothing from God. Because faith, let me tell you something. Because faith, patience goes with faith. Amen. Praise God. So that's very important. So it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he swore unto no greater, he swore unto himself. Who's greater than God? God swore unto himself. You believe that? Huh? If I swore unto myself, I'd tell a lie. No, I'm lying. Huh? You know I'm lying. If I call y'all, if I told you, I said, listen, I'll be down here to pick you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know Brother Greg is lying. And that's a small thing. I might try. But you know what I'm trying? What I'm trying to say is, God swore upon himself because he can't lie. That's why we need to lean upon the word of God. God cannot lie. Do you realize that the Lord honors his word above his name? Above his name. And this is why I can't understand about Holy Ghost filled people. We have spirit and truth. Why are we not effectively using the word of God to take care of our situation? Why? God's hands are not tied. Why we don't effectively, and I mean effectively, what do you mean, Brother Gray, effectively? Where we have results. Results. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God moves in the realm to have results. He manifests results in our lives. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. And we're gonna go to the Proverbs. No, don't turn there. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent. The things of God, you got to do what? You got to go for. Slothful. What's slothfulness? Lazy. Do you know how many people are spiritually lazy? And the Bible says, but the slothful shall be under tribute. That means that the slothful shall be in debt. Tribute is a debt. They're always trying to catch up. Huh? See, God wants us to be ahead of the ball game because he's ahead of the ball game. Huh? So, slothfulness, you know, slothfulness is a terrible sin. Whether it be physical or spiritual, it's a terrible sin. It's a horrible sin. Proverbs 12 and 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. In other words, the slothful man went hunting, caught a deer, and was too lazy to skin it and eat it. What profit was it to him? None at all. But to the diligent man, to the man that's diligent, the substance of a diligent man is precious. He uses whatever God has given. He don't waste it. This is the same with your talents. Whatever talent God has given you, you don't waste it. You use it for the kingdom of God. Praise God. One talent that everybody has, the power of prayer. You use it for the kingdom of God. You don't waste it. Hallelujah. You use it effectively. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means that it receives results. Amen. See, I'm not living in the possibility that God will bless. Who's that? Chosen? Oh, Joel. I'm not living in the possibility that God will bless. I know God will bless. I know God will bless. I'm not living in maybe. No. God will bless. Am I right, brother? Can we testify that? No, don't do it. You hold it. But can we testify that? Absolutely. Amen. Can anybody here testify that God will bless? God will take care of you. God will take care of you. He will bless you. Praise God. He will bless. So you use whatever God has given you. Don't waste it. Especially prayer. People wonder, why you pray so diligently? The Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek. Hallelujah. Sister Ken, why you pray so loud? Hallelujah. Why? You seek it after God. Am I right? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not saying everybody got to pray that way. I'm not saying that. But he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Looking after God. Looking after, not just when you got a problem. Not just when you got a situation. But man, I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart. I'm seeking God when everything's going fine, when everything's right, when everything's good. Praise God. We should want the fullness of what God has to offer and be not slothful in it. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19. The way of a slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of a righteous man is made plain. A lazy man has a rough road in life. I'm going to tell you that. A lazy Christian has a rough road in life. And you know, you ever see them Christians that's always hanging on? Can't get it right? Huh? One day they're in church, the next day they ain't. Even though they might be sitting in the pew, they still ain't in church. Am I right? They sit on the pew, but they ain't in church. Huh? Because a lazy Christian has a rough road. It's a rough road. It's hard. It's hard. Amen. It's hard. It's a rough road. But a righteous man has a blessed life and a full life. I think about what the Lord gave me in the last 15 years. My goodness, man, he filled my life up. Gave me 4 kids, a wife. My goodness, man. Pastored, listen, pastored 3 churches. Huh? I mean, think about it. Pastored 3 churches. When I think about what all the Lord took me through, right? Huh? He's given me a full life. Gave me a full life. Seen signs, wonders, and miracles, healing my body. You know, he's given me a full life. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's not putting any glory on me. But that's how I always was. I was that way from the first time I got the Holy Ghost. From the first time I got the Holy Ghost, I said, I got the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know what? I said, goodbye world. I ain't went back, ain't looked back, ain't want to go back. Devil say, no, I ain't got nothing. Hey, hallelujah, I'm good. Hey, man, if I got to suffer, let me suffer before the throne of God. Let me suffer right here. Let me lay right here and suffer. You know, if the Lord want to slay me, so be it. That's how I feel. Praise God. It's no use me hanging on this life if the Lord don't want me to. Make sense? Hey, amen. Remember, Proverbs 18 and 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Laziness is equal to waste. The Lord wants us to be productive. Productive. I ain't talking about just going to work either. I'm talking about spiritually. The Lord wants us to be productive. Productive. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand. Great ways. I have seen people put all their energy in the world, be in the church, and be unproductive towards God. And be unproductive towards God. 19 to 15. He also that is slothful in his work.19 and 24. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I know so. Shall suffer hunger. Laziness is a spirit, and it will be, and it will rob you of the very things of God. This is the danger of automation today. Automation will make you spiritually lazy. That's right. TV set, computers, all types of things, iPods, it will make you spiritually lazy. Well, it will consume so much of your time that you won't have time to see God. In other words, the quality time, the machine got, and the Lord gets the dribbles. And then we wonder why we're not blessed. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong. I'm speaking to me too. Amen. Automation is a dangerous object. The devil has placed it there. I'm telling you. The man has put it together, but the devil is using it. He is using it. And it is a powerful tool today in our churches. And if unless we combat it, unless we stand and use it as a tool, it will rob us. It will rob us of our time. It will rob us of our families. It will rob us of our children. It will rob us. It will rob us. It will rob us. Time will go by so quickly. You know, every time I look at the girls and say, man, they're growing up fast. You know? Here I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my emails, and they come over and play. Then I thought, nope. You know what they do? They close the drawer. Come on, daddy. You know what I do? Okay, children. Close the drawer, we go upstairs. You know, they put me down, give me tea and all that. You know, play with me. Because they're growing rapidly. They need my time. They need me. Amen. If I allow that to be a priority, where are they? That means they're second. They're not second. They're first. I want them to be saved. I want them to live for God. They say, come on, daddy. When I'm praying, they don't do that. When I'm praying, they come beside me. And they begin to pray. You know, because they know when they come and I'm praying, I won't push them away. I say, come on. I pull them in. I just do it with Emmanuel, with Justin. Pull them in. We all, you know. I won't pull them in. I won't tell them to go away. I'm praying. No, stay here. Stay here. You know. Sometimes we get caught up with automation and we're in there playing a game and the kids come, oh, can I play this game? Then I like my girls, they persistent. Nope. They start messing with the mouse and everything goes wild. You know? And you know what I say? Oh, you're right, Chef. Off. Off. Let's go. Let's play. Where you want to go, outside, upstairs, what you want to do. Amen. It will rob you. It will rob you. One of the worst things in the world is you look back years, and before you know it, they're looking you in the face. And they're telling you that you're a person they never knew. Even though you were home, you're doing everything that you admire. And I'll be honest with you. If you ever come to my house, my wife calls my computer my girlfriend. And I thought, boo, get rid of that thing. I do. I think, boo, get rid of it. Why? Because I don't want to, you know. I listen to everything. See, the most important thing as a Christian, you got to listen spiritually. You got to listen spiritually. You have to learn to listen spiritually. Because if you don't listen spiritually, that means you're hard-headed. And if you're hard-headed, that means God can't get through to you. And then God can't help you. And God can't bless you. And God can't bring conviction to your life. And God can't change you. And God can't make you what he wants you to be. You know? So sometimes it just, hey, you know, sometimes I might not like it. My flesh says, but then I'm thinking, she right. Okay. That makes sense. I'm just trying to be real. You know? She might only want 5 minutes of my attention, but that 5 minutes is valuable to her. She might want 10 minutes, whatever, but that 5 minutes at that time is valuable. That's its bottom line. It's valuable. You have to understand, we are dealing with people, and we're dealing with God. And God responds to us, and people respond to us, and we should, in return, respond to them. Amen. We got to learn to respond, because we live in a society that is fully automated, and it's designed to take up our time. That's what I hate about emails. You know what I hate about email? It is so impersonal. I do. I hate it. I hate emails. People say, read your email, read your email. Why don't you just give me a call? I don't like it. I don't like to sit there and read an email. I mean, I will. I do. Don't get me wrong. It's a great tool. It's a great tool. But sometimes a 5-minute call or a 2-minute call, because I'm not a telephone person either. You know, I don't like to be on the telephone for hours. I will talk to you if you got a problem. No doubt about that. But I'd rather you tell me, listen, I'd rather you call me, Paige, on the telephone, tell me your problem, than you send me an email and tell me the problem. Or maybe you tell me, say, listen, Brother Greg, could you come here and see me? I got something to tell you. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it over the telephone. Okay. Well, we're communicating. See, automation has its place. But automation is not the ultimate situation. Amen. And we've got to control it. Or if we don't control it, it will control us. Am I making sense? It will control us. It will control us. And we all, listen, we all suffer from the disease. Am I right? I'm talking to everybody. We all suffer from the disease. If we all got a computer in the house, we know that boy is dangerous. That boy is dangerous. That boy is more dangerous than the TV set. That boy is dangerous. You got to keep that boy at arm's length sometimes. That boy is dangerous. Not only because of what it can produce on it, but the time that it can force you to consume. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21 and 25. A desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. If you want something, you must be willing at times to fight for it or to work for it. Make sense? If you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible tells me. Amen. Same thing in the spiritual realm. Same thing. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. Remember now, when Jesus came along, all of the parables that he gave the people and all the typologies he gave the people were things that were similar to them that surrounded them, that they can relate to. And he related them to their spiritual position. And that's what we do here. We do the same thing here. So, you know, some people say, you know, sometimes we are so indoctrinated by working that sometimes we think our own jobs and our job situations are satisfying to God enough. They ain't satisfying to God. It's for the flesh. It's temporal. They ain't doing nothing for God. That's just something that you have to live with. We can thank Adam for that. Praise God. That's why I tell a man, if you want to be a preacher and you want to live for God, you got to take care of your family. You got to be industrious. Amen. That's the way life is. That's the way it is. Amen. So you got to be able to be, you have to be, first of all, productive in the flesh before you're going to be productive in the spirit. Am I right? You're not going to, don't tell me you up there preaching and you the main speaker for the day and you ain't got a job. Or you ain't taking care of your family. I don't want to hear it. You cut me off right there. Because it shows us that a man has responsibility to take care of his family. Amen. Praise God. Now, I don't care if you work at McDonald's. I don't care. I don't care if you clean floors. It doesn't matter what degree you work in, as long as you're doing something. Praise God. And so that's what we have to understand. And sometimes people don't really understand. You got to take the word of God literally. The word of God is literal. Literal. That's not just in the flesh, but even it's literal even spiritually. But people don't understand that. It's literal even spiritually. If you take the word of God literally in the spiritual realm, you will get physical results. You get physical results. You get it. But you're not going to get it if you're just waiting for something to happen. Proverbs 21 and 25. A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You know why? Because his hand is empty. One of the worst things to do is try to, could you imagine if you was hungry? Empty. That's what laziness brings you. Emptiness. Emptiness. One more scripture, y'all. Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by a field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. The production of a lazy man is emptiness. And when a person is lazy, he lacks understanding. Praise God. I ain't talking about physical laziness. I'm talking about spiritual laziness. Both work hand in hand. Both work hand in hand. He lacks understanding. Sometimes some people have asked me questions. I'll be honest with you. People have asked me questions that I thought, you don't know that. Not because, now listen, now let me tell you something. This is what you got to be careful of. Every time, here's what people think. People in the church sometimes assume that everything that's taught to them spiritually has to come out the mouth of the preacher. Right? Everything taught to them spiritually has to come out the mouth of the preacher. What about the things that God wants to teach you? So when somebody tells me, well, you never said that, or you never taught me that, I look at them strange and think, well, you mean you've been around that long and the Lord never spoke to you about that? You mean the Lord never spoke to you about that? You know what? Here, now let me tell you something. And I think all of us will testify to it. If you have the Holy Ghost, the Lord speaks to you every day. Right? One way or another, the Lord speaks to you every day. Even if you don't pray, He still speaks to you. When you don't pray, and you know how you get busy, and you get caught up in them 2 or 3 days, and you ain't had that real prayer time, what urges you to pray? It's the Lord. The Holy Ghost said, you ain't said nothing to me. All of a sudden you get itchy. I gotta find someplace. You know, I gotta do something. Am I right? You know how that feel, right? And then you say, well, I gotta be at a meeting. Forget it. Forget it. I've been there. Forget it. You know, do you realize it's been mornings that I called in work? I'll be late. You know why? I was praying. I'll be late. I'll come in later. That's right. Because the Holy Ghost said, pray. And I thought, and I'm fidgeting around. You ain't fidgeting around. You're trying to get out the house. Or you're trying to, or let's say you get up and you're trying to put in a certain amount of time of prayer, and you and the heat of the day gets upon you, and you start doing this, and you start doing that, and you start doing this. You know what I'm trying to say? And before you know it, your time ran out, and your prayer time is gone, and then it's time to go out the house. Am I right? Oh man, that brother, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's time to go out the house. Prayer time gone. And before you know, you got to find your keys. Here you go. And then and then the Holy Ghost said, you ain't prayed. You think, Lord, and then the flesh says, I can't be late. Am I right? Flesh says, I can't be late. And then the flesh justifies, well, Lord, you don't want me late. Be late for work. Am I right? Who is the greater authority? God. God is the greater authority. Hallelujah. Do you realize them times that I called in work and say I wouldn't be there? I'd be in about 2 hours. Do you realize that those were the times I never had any problems? Never. And then I might walk in 5 minutes late and somebody might say, where you been? But the times when I called in and say, listen, I can't. I'll be in a couple hours. Well, you sure you? Yeah, I'll be in. And all I do, I'll be in. And then after I click off the telephone and put it down, I'm in the closet. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm buried in. Amen. And then when I feel the fullness of all that, I get up. I'm ready then. Get in my car. Go ahead and work. Because God is the highest authority. This is part of understanding faith towards God. If we know God is the high authority, can he protect us at the job? He sure can. He can protect us at the job. He can protect us at the job. Because I'm putting him first. You know, it's not all the time when the Holy Ghost tells me to pray. But sometimes, and you know what? On them days that the Holy Ghost tells me to pray, something happens. He prepared me for something. Don't, you know how I've been there? Don't go out without praying. You go to work and walk right into a mess. Oh my God, huh? Right to a hornet's nest, walk right into the nest, huh? And you be thinking, oh Lord, I'm glad I prayed about it. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost today, huh? That's right, never fail. Because God is a great authority. He knows all things. He knows all things. Once we see him that way, we'll serve him better. We'll serve more diligently. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the ending. You know, he knows what we're going to do 20 years from now. Huh? He knows where, Paige, you realize he knows what your attitude is going to be 20 years from now. This is why it's so important for us to prepare ourselves. That's what the Bible means by predestination. Some people say, well, you know, God has predestined certain saints and only, no, predestination is telling you that God knows where you will be. He already knows where you will be. Now it's up to you to take that diligentness and become what God wants you to become. That's up to you. Amen. God already knows if you're going to be the same as you were 7, 8 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. He knows if you're going to be that way. He knows that. Huh? But you got the opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to be everything that I can be for him when I get where I need to get. You have that opportunity. But if you're lazy, spiritually, you won't take advantage of it. You won't take advantage of it. And you know what you'll have? Delayed blessings. Do you realize that some people miss blessings because they weren't diligent enough to receive them in the time that God wanted them to have them? They missed them. Delayed blessing. They delayed. Because I want, you know, Hey, I don't want to put no energy in it. Listen, God is energy. Remember, he filled you with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said when you got filled with the Spirit of God, you received dynamite. He filled you with energy. Don't tell me, listen, nobody can tell me, I can't live for God. No, I don't care. Listen, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can live for God. Don't tell me you can't live for God. If you got the Holy Ghost, you can live for God. You just got to make up your mind and get it done. Am I right, Payne? You can live for God. And you can be successful and fulfill everything that God would have you fulfill. Are you? But sometimes we're dealing with delayed blessings. God has perfect timing. He has perfect timing. Perfect timing. He knows when you need it. He knows when you need it. And he will provide it when you need it. Am I right? Hallelujah. He will provide. Oh, I don't know. You know. I don't know. Some people stir with that. I don't know. Well, I feel sorry for you. Got the Holy Ghost, you stir with that. I do. I feel sorry for you. I feel my heart goes out to people that don't have that type of faith, and you got the Holy Ghost. You ain't got that. Well, here's my thing. If you tell me that you got the Holy Ghost, if you tell me you got the Holy Ghost, and I see that you've been around and you can't exercise that type of faith, I think you need to question whether you really have it or not. You need to question whether you really do have it. Because I know that people that have the Holy Ghost live in two realms. They live in the realm of the natural and the realm of the spiritual. And natural things do not understand spiritual things. But spiritual things understand all things. That's right. Natural things don't understand spiritual things. So it's no use of me trying to reason with God over a miracle. Huh? Ain't no reasoning. Ain't no reasoning. Because natural things do not understand spiritual things, but spiritual things understand all things. And that's what God wants us to be. We live in two realms, and we need to exercise what we have in both realms. Let's stand, y'all.